G'day guys, my name's Trav and I'm feeling pretty lucky to be able to share with you some thoughts on the parable of the sower tonight. So I wanted to kick off. My wife Carissa and I have been married for 10 months and 19 days today. I know, it's a really long time. So I thought with all my marriage experience, I'd offer up some of the guys who have been married for longer than a year, some marriage advice. Tell your partner you love them every day. It's pretty sweet, right, Robin? It's cute. But see, we're not really talking about my marriage tonight, are we? I can safely say that relationships are all about listening, hearing, and responding. So how well do you listen to your friends when you ask them about their weekend? Or are you too busy thinking about the next thing you're going to say? Do you listen to God? He's throwing seed your way, and all you want to do is continue living your life for yourself. See, we're really not talking about dirt tonight, are we? In our parable, we are the dirt, and the seed is the good news about Jesus, that he came to die for you so that you can have a relationship with him. So where's your relationship at with Jesus tonight? Do you know how good of a listener you are right now? Take the Bible study leader, for example. She's the kindest, most encouraging person you could meet. She's grown up in church and she serves through hosting Bible study at her place every Wednesday night. You would assume that she's the good soil, yeah? Well, what if I told you that deep down she kind of felt like Jesus owed her something? After all, she does serve him every week. Surely he should bless her with a couple of extra clients at work. See, is she really listening to God? What makes it kind of difficult to determine what kind of soil you are is that our dirt changes. Spiritual growth is never constant. We're either growing or drifting in our faith. So how good of a listener are you right now, and does it really matter? Well, it kind of does, because if Jesus was to come back tonight, would your works be enough to earn your salvation if you were the Bible study leader? Tonight, we're going to do a hearing test. We're going to evaluate the state of our hearts by going through the various types of dirt in our parable to ultimately figure out how good of a listener are you. So before we get too far into our passage, there are a couple of really key elements to note. Straight up in verse 1, it says that the 12 were with him, along with some women who were supporting him out of their own means. But who were these women? Well, the passage names some of them. We've got Mary Magdalene, who was cured of 7 demons. Not just one, but 7. See, as a church, we really don't focus on the effects of demon possession. But this would have been scary stuff. Mary may not have had control over her body. Her family would have been terrified. Her friends most likely avoided her. But not Jesus. He heals her of her demons, restores her life, and reinforces that no one is too far from the love of God. Then on the other hand, you've got Joanna. Now she's rich. She's married to the manager of Herod's household. She didn't need to hang out with the poor, but she chooses to because Jesus changed her life, and she wants to be a part of enabling that change in others. See, a lot of the time we focus on Jesus' work with the poor, yeah, the blind, the sick, the disabled. But the gospel is for everyone. So tonight we're going to do a hearing test. We're going to evaluate the state of our hearts by going through the various types of dirt in our parable. So these women were serving Jesus out of their own means. It would have cost them to support him in his ministry. And this would have been highly controversial at the time because women didn't associate with men. They definitely didn't serve alongside the rabbi. But Jesus loves everyone equally. He values their time, he values their possessions, and he values their support. Seeing in the context of Jesus' ministry, this parable comes in his second year of public teaching, just after the Pharisees denounce him and the Jewish authorities were out to kill him. Seeing in Jesus' first year, he rarely spoke in parables, and when he did, he quickly explained its meaning soon after. This wasn't working out so well for Jesus. In fact, a little earlier in Luke chapter 4, his hometown of Nazareth tried to throw him off a cliff to prove that he wasn't the Son of God. And that's the point. Previously, Jesus had been super clear in his teaching, but people weren't listening with the right intention. They were listening for other reasons than to know the gospel. They wanted to see if Jesus would perform a miracle. They wanted to see if Jesus was going to overthrow their Roman oppressors. They wanted to see if Jesus was going to have a fallout with the Pharisees. Who doesn't love a bit of drama? So when it says in verse 4 that a large crowd was gathering, it's believed to be for the Jewish Feast of Purim, which was the last major festival before Passover. So there would have been a mixture of Galilean farmers, Jews who were in town for the feast, and those who were wondering what's going on. So it's believed that Jesus delivered the parable of the sower in a boat off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This separated him and his disciples from the crowd and forced those who were genuinely interested in finding out more about him to seek him out after the parable. Look with me in verse 10. Jesus says, "The knowledge of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, and those hearing, they may not understand." This is a direct fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of a hard-hearted, spiritually blind people who were too busy living their own lives and had stopped listening to God. See, the scary thing is with these people who had stopped listening to God, they probably thought they were the good soil. They went to temple every week. They followed the law. They knew their Old Testament. But they also believed that they deserved salvation. And there's the clincher. Is that us? See, if we were alive back in Jesus' day, we would be fairly similar to these good people. For the majority of us, going to temple every week, shalom. But do we think we're better than others? You know, the heathens that don't come to church. Are we really listening to God? So with the context of our parable in mind, like I said, we're going to explore some dirt and see if we can work out how good of a listener we really are. So our first type of dirt we have is the path. Look with me at verse 5. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. The farmers in the audience would have known that the path was hard. This was the area where the stock and the workers would have walked. This compacts the soil enough to create a hard exterior that the seed can't penetrate. This doesn't mean that the farmer wasn't planting seed, but what it does mean is that it was either trampled by livestock or eaten by birds. So, as it turns out, like the majority of men here tonight, I can have selective hearing. So every day at work, we have a sales meeting, yeah, and we go around the room and we say what each of us has on for the day. And to be honest, it's really boring. So I tune out after my turn and go through my socials. which usually works out okay for me. Except this one day, I had my turn. Two people after me, I was so engrossed in my Facebook feed, I didn't even hear my manager ask me a question. It was that awkward moment, you know, when my mate was like, "Trav, the boss just asked you something." All I could do with a blank look on my face was say, "Yes." As it turns out, it wasn't a yes or no question. See, in the beginning, I was listening, but then I got distracted by my Facebook and I tuned out. Jesus explains in verse 12, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil takes away the word from their heart so they may not believe and be saved." See, the devil doesn't want us to have a relationship with Jesus, so he makes sure that the seed, the word of God, doesn't take root. And he can do this in various different ways. We can be so proud that we don't think we need grace. We don't need salvation. I've got a good job, a good car, a great house. Why do I need Jesus? What can he do for me? Or we can be so caught up in our sin that we actually think it's okay. It's okay to watch porn. It's okay to steal stationery from work. It's okay to gossip about my mates. But when we're confronted by our Christian friends that it's not actually okay, we shut them out. Or what about the 10-second Tom or forgetful hearer? We're sitting in church, hear the word, and then next minute you're thinking about that school assignment due in 2 weeks, and instantly the seed is snatched away. Or how about the lame excuses we give our friends when they invite us along to a Christian event? I love this. I actually Googled 3 reasons why people don't come to church, and here's what came up. Number 1, the pastor spits on people in the first 10 rows. It's almost like we need a moat around here, you know, or a screen, shower curtain perhaps. Number 2, the preacher is too attractive. I get distracted every time I hear them preaching. Hopefully you're not struggling with that too much tonight. I mean, I can understand if you are, but Lewis isn't struggling at all. And number 3, my mother's next door neighbor's cousin's cat passed away and I'm in mourning. See, the devil places a fear in people's minds that prevents them from hearing the word of God. Like, what will my friends think of me if I become a Christian? Or the old, no one's going to talk to me at youth group. But here's the thing, Satan can't overwrite your free will. You have to choose to believe the lie that something bad is going to happen to you at church. So if this is your heart, your dirt, the great thing is you don't need to stay the path. Farmers can plant seed on the path by ploughing it first. This breaks the hard exterior of the soil, softening the dirt enough for the seed to take root. Ploughing hurts. It involves hearing the word of God, repenting, accepting his grace, and putting him first in your life. Doesn't sound too painful, does it? Well, it kind of is when your parents disown you because your newfound faith in Christ goes against their culture, or you lose your job because you share your faith at work. However, the eternal benefits of salvation far outweigh the short-term persecutions of this life. So there's our first type of dirt, the path. If this is you tonight, Jesus is planting a seed your way. You just need to listen, soften your heart, and accept his grace. Our second type of dirt we have is the rocky soil. Look with me at verse 6. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. In the region of Galilee in which Jesus was teaching, the land was renowned for being particularly rocky. But in amongst the rocks was a thin layer of soil, and a seed will take root there. However, there's not enough moisture to support long-term growth. And Jesus draws this analogy to describe the person who's excited about their faith when they first hear the message, but their heart isn't changed, and when trouble comes, their faith quickly disappears. So imagine you're on a first date, yeah? You're super excited about the prospect of finding love, so you're actively listening to everything that the other person's saying. They're laughing at your jokes, so you decide to go on a second date. The second date is good, not as good as the first, so you risk it and go on a third date. Well, you should have called it earlier. It was a complete disaster. They start paying you out, so you dump them because no one likes being paid out, right? See, when you are faced with a trial, you got out of there. Jesus explains in verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. See, the issue isn't the seed. It's sprouted, but it can't put down deep roots into a heart that isn't prepared for the message. The issue comes when we're faced with a trial, and trials can improve the quality of the plant if you have the right root system. Take the sun, for example, yeah? The sun can promote photosynthesis, creating a bigger, stronger plant. But that same life source can also scorch and kill the plant if you don't have the right roots. See, the main indicator that you're on the rocky soil is your reaction to the trial. And God doesn't promise to eliminate our problems, but he does say that they won't overcome us. Romans 5 verses 3 to 4 says, we glory in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So is your faith built on rocky soil? The great thing about this dirt is that your seed has sprouted. You just need to hear the word and give yourself the space to mature in your faith by reading your Bible and praying every day. If Jesus is as important to you as you say he is, you'll want to spend more time with him. So that's our second dirt, the rocky soil. If this is you tonight, you'll be excited about Jesus. You've heard the good news. You just need to let it sink in and mature in your faith. Our third type of dirt is the weedy soil. Verse 7 reads, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. See, weeds are one of a farmer's constant battles. They start out small, growing alongside the plants, but when the rain comes, they can quickly overtake the whole paddock. In the same way, people whose seed has fallen among the thorns know God. They know how much he loves them. But when life becomes too hard, they often listen to other voices in their lives. And those voices or temptations could be a love of money, where we say we love God, but we only give him what we have to and keep the majority for ourselves. Or relationships. You're a Christian dating a non-believer, but you want to get married so badly that you compromise your faith. Or power, the temptation to climb the corporate ladder at work distracts you from serving God in other areas. See, all of these things were created by God for our enjoyment. Love, jobs, money, they only become an issue when we place them above God in our lives. And a great example of this is Jesus' account of the rich young ruler, where he asks Jesus what he can do to gain eternal life. And Jesus tells him in Matthew 19:21, go and sell your possessions, give it to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. See, at the end of the day, he can't do it. He loves Jesus, but money is his real God. Jesus explains in verse 14, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature." See, people on the weedy soil know God. They know how much he loves them. But when life becomes too hard, like I said, they listen to other voices in their lives. So, what are some of the voices or some of the things that you're worried about tonight? Is it money? Will I have enough money to pay for rent or the mortgage if I give to the missionaries at church? If I help that homeless person, you know, the one that I see every day on my way to work, will he mug me? Or will I lose the sale if I share my beliefs on marriage equality? If this is you, again, not a bad thing. Your seed has sprouted. It's growing. You just need to do a bit of weeding. Listen to the word of God. Remove the things in your life that distract you from him. If money is becoming an issue in your life, tithe. If God doesn't have your finance, he doesn't have your heart. A guy at work was telling me an analogy of a rich man and a piece of glass. See, a piece of glass can be two things. It can be a window where you see people outside, or it can be a mirror where you only see yourself. The only difference between the two pieces of glass is that the mirror has a thin layer of silver underneath it. And that's the clincher. As soon as you add silver or money to anything, all you think about is yourself. The perks of working in a Christian workplace, right? You can have these deep philosophical conversations all day long. So how are those thorns going in your life? There's our third type of dirt, the weedy soil. If this is you tonight, you may love Jesus, but are you really listening to him? Is he number one in your life? So our last form of dirt tonight is the good soil in verse 8. Read with me. "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." To the Galileans, an average return on their crop was tenfold. To be a good return would have been 30-fold. To be 100-fold would have been magnificent. So to put it in our perspective, right, if you had $10, if that was to return 100-fold, that would become $1,000. Shut up and take my money. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm looking at the interest in my bank account, I'm looking at about $3.55 over the last 2 years. But that's how we should know we're good dirt, by the fruit in our lives. And hand up if you've heard of the Fruit of the Spirit song. Yeah? Yes? Any kids' church people? Tara has. Okay, well, I'm going to play this for you. Well, Michelle's going to play it for you technically. But this is going to change your life. It's pretty amazing.
Listen to me.
You might as well hear it.
Try.
You can't be the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My God is so mean. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I cannot do over you.
The rest of the fruit after the coconut and banana are kind of boring. But see, my sister showed me this a couple of years ago while I was preparing a kids talk message, and I liked it so much that I claimed it as my own. She's used to that. But the whole point is, if you're a Christian here tonight, you should be different from those who don't believe. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside you. You should have the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. There's a reason why I'm not in the music team. But see, I'm not saying we have to have all these down pat. We're not perfect, but we should be striving for them. See, I'm pretty good at the love and the joy part, but humility and particularly self-control, well, that's not such a strong point. But that's okay, because you got to be open and willing to listen to God and how He is going to grow your dirt. Look with me at verse 15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So if your heart is good dirt tonight, you'll be ready and listening to how God wants to use you in your life. And it doesn't just have to be with the big things. God wants us to be obedient in the small things as well. So there was a day at work where I'd just come out of a really tough meeting, and next minute one of my friends at work was standing in my office and invited me out to lunch. We didn't go anywhere fancy. We just walked down the road and got Subway. She needed lunch too. But the whole point is, if she ignored God's prompting on her life to come and chat to me, I would have been left feeling pretty crappy. See, you have the opportunity to do God's work, and it doesn't just have to be with the unsaved. Christians need just as much help too. But notice what he says at the end of verse 15. By persevering, produce a crop. And that's the part we don't really want to focus on, right? Persevere? I don't want to persevere. I've got Jesus. He should get rid of my problems. Kind of like the genie in Aladdin. But that kind of acts as a warning. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that he's promising to eliminate our problems. But what it does mean is that when you're struggling, you're going to stick him out because you know Jesus. You know how much he loves you. When you're struggling, Jesus knows. He's been through it. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin." So there's our final dirt, the good soil, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So we've gone through our four types of dirt. Were you able to work out how good of a listener you are? Just because you're one type of dirt now doesn't mean you need to stay that dirt. The farmer, aka Jesus, is planting seed on all the dirt. The seed, or the word of God, the message of the gospel, is the same for everyone. However, the state of your heart determines how well you're going to receive that message, how good you are at listening. So are you living on the path? That's okay. God is throwing seed your way. You just need to listen, plow the soil, soften your heart, and accept the grace Jesus is offering you. Or is your faith built between the rocks? Salvation is more than a superficial hearing of the gospel. You need to prepare your heart for deeper roots by reading your Bible. I try and read mine every night before I go to bed, and speaking with God. Pray every day. Or do you need to do a bit of weeding? You've heard the good news. You love Jesus. But are you giving him 100%? Give of your time, give of your money, give of yourself. Jesus has given us everything we have. He'll never let us go without. Or finally, is your heart good soil and you've heard the good news and putting him first in your life? Note, this doesn't mean you're not going to sin. Heck, you're going to sin just as much as all the other soil. But what it does mean is that you've heard the good news. You've repented and accepted his grace and are ready and listening to how God is going to use you in your life. There'll be trials. He's not promising you a bump-free ride. But what he is saying is by persevering, he's going to use you in ways you can only ever imagine. So how good are you at listening? If you're one of our first three soils and your heart isn't right with God tonight, Jesus is planting a seed your way right now. He died for you. He loves you. He's chasing you. But it's up to you to prepare your heart. It's your choice. Will you accept him tonight? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you sent your Son to die for us so that we may know you. Lord, thank you that you meet us where we're at, that you want a relationship with us, no matter who we are or what we've done. Lord, we just pray that people who don't know you yet will accept your grace and that we would actively listen to your plan for our lives. Amen.